Fuzzy TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, Howard, please. I've been here with my friends for so many years, way with them. And I'd like to invite you to the Junkyard Radio.
Well, hello. I'm not going to go into a lot of time of giving a testimony. I've come up in religion just like everybody else, Baptist. I've taught Sunday school and preached in churches and, you know, all the normal eternal torment, free will, all that googly gook. Okay. I also have a YouTube channel. It's called The Simple Truth, where the first one, obviously, I'm trying to figure out the whole video thing, but then after that, it gets okay with the audio and the lighting and stuff like that. Obviously, Martin gave me some pointers. But one thing that I've worked toward is those of you that heard me speak before or even spoke to me since we've been here, it's not hard to see I'm a pretty simple man. Okay? You know, and I think religion, their biggest fault is they try to make things hard. Okay? So one thing I've always tried to do is make things simple. I don't think God meant for it to be hard. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to dig for truth. We do. We have to be a workman. That's not a shame. But I'm talking about the simple stuff. You know, and one thing that that's what I've done on my Simple Truth videos. They're just simple. Okay? It doesn't need to be hard. Okay? And then if you Google my name, Waylon Dabb, you can find full-length conference videos where I've talked with Martin several conferences. And I normally try to keep a theme throughout the whole conference. But check those out. If you like them, good. If you don't, but that's okay too. But one thing that I do, and I've had any time I've ever had success, okay, winning anyone to the truth or bringing them to the truth or guiding them to the truth, is the same path that I took is I was forced into a situation through a study of Calvinism, and if any of you know that is, a preacher, a Baptist preacher, wanted me to do a study of Calvinism with him, so I could take every other Wednesday night, we were going to talk about cults. Well, Calvinism was a cult, okay? And, you know, I was forced into the whole TULIP study. I'd studied it before, but, you know, I was preparing to get up in front of people and teach it, you know, and, you go through the whole TULIP thing, and, you know, one of the biggest, easiest ones to get across is limited atonement. You know, limited atonement is so stupid and it's so easily disproven in the Bible. You know, and but God, you know, put a Mormon of all people. I was talking to, obviously from a Baptist perspective, I was talking to a Mormon at work. You know, so somehow we got to talking, and I went to Ephesians 2:8-9, and sometimes when I'll quote from the KJV, that's how I grew up my whole life. Forgive me, okay? But anyway, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, and it's common belief within the Christian establishment that if you have faith, you have it because God give it to you. Right? Okay? So it's just so happened I was doing this study on Calvinism where obviously they're talking about the elect. God only saves the elect and predestines everyone else to hell. The only people he gives faith are the elect. Well, this Mormon, being an astute individual, said, I was talking about that, and he says, okay, if God gives you the faith, right, then why come that guy don't have it? If the only way you're going to get saved is faith in Jesus, and the only way you get that faith is if God gives it to you, okay, then this guy not having it is God's fault. And I'm like, you know, those things make you go, You know, so that forced me, okay, into facing what I believe square in the eyes. Because at that point, you couldn't have got any more logical. If the only way you get saving faith is God gives it to you, right? And this guy don't have it, it's because God hadn't given it to him. Yeah. Period. It's logical. Okay? It is. No way around it. So I was forced into a realization that there's something broken with what I believe. Okay, so as I was doing, consequently, or coincidence, I was doing this study on Calvinism, I either had to become a Calvinist, because that's what they believe, and they're okay with that. Okay, but like I said, Calvinism is so easily disproved by the Bible. Okay, so in my mind, okay, there had to be another answer. Okay, and just by sheer coincidence, I began reading in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Oh, this passage I've read many times. Now all of a sudden I see he's going to reconcile all things to himself. So that started me on my path. But what I'm trying to say is when I talk to people, I did it with Shane, I did it with several people, I force Christians to admit what they believe. Okay, I grind. Okay, I grind it down. And one thing that I do is I force them to do that. And I can say now that I've come to the truth, okay, this is the only time in my life, okay, that I've been able to be consistent. Okay, I've been able to make sense of things. Okay, because my doctrine don't force me to be inconsistent or to be illogical. Okay, so let's just talk about a few of those things. And I'm running through and I'm going to make some fun of some Christian stuff here that if you brought up in religion, you're going to know this is going to ring true. But let me read this right here in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Now the Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent errors, some will be withdrawing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons. In the hypocrisy of false expressions, their own conscience having been cauterized, forbidding to marry, abstaining from foods which God creates to be partaken of with thanksgiving, and those who believe and realize the truth, seeing that every creature of God is ideal for nothing, is the castaway being taken with thanksgiving, for it is hallowed through the word of God and pleading. Okay, so we see there that it's through the hypocrisy of false expressions. Okay, now I don't need to go into what hypocrisy is, right? Okay, but let's just look at an easy one here. Okay, the one that I get people on all the time. Okay, how many times have you heard a good Baptist preacher or Pentecostal preacher? They'll get up there and say, God is in charge. Right? Well, okay. God's in charge. They don't believe that. No. They don't even come close to believing that. Okay, so let's test this. Okay, here's the thing. I can now say God is in charge, and I believe that. I don't have to run from it. I don't have to run around and try to clean God's resume of the stuff that I don't like. Okay, because that's Christians' problems. Their mind is wrapped with eternal torment and evil in the world, and sometimes they can't recognize or process the fact that God created evil. The Hebrew word there, Isaiah 45:7, is Ra. Okay, and then you get Christians, well, it's translated this. God created Ra. I don't care how you translate it. It's Ra. It's evil. Calamity sometimes. But mostly it's wickedness and evilness. Okay, I don't have to run from the fact that God created evil. That don't mean I have to like it. Okay, that don't mean that I have to enjoy the fact that this travesty happened in Texas. Okay? I don't run from the fact that that was God. I don't understand it. I don't have to like it. I don't have to do any of that. Okay? I just believe God's in charge. Okay? I don't have to dance around that. He is in charge. Let's look at another one. Salvation is of the Lord. 100%. Salvation's 100% Lord, kind of like your Curtis Hudson track. Okay? How many times have you sat in an altar call, sit in a preacher's message, there's nothing you can do to save yourself, right? Oh, yeah. But if you go to hell, it's your fault. Okay? That's the hypocrisy of a false expression if you ever heard one. If there's nothing I can do to save myself, then if I go to hell, how in the hell can it be my fault? If there's nothing I can do, right? And then that circular logic goes to running. And it's just one big circle of inconsistency. Okay? Now I can be consistent. Okay? Salvation is of the Lord. Period. There's nothing I can do to gain it. There's nothing you can do to gain it. There's nothing anybody done to gain it. Okay? It was gained on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Right? So I can be consistent now. Okay, what about this? And this is a funny question because I love pinning them down with this. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Right? Now you can ask a Christian, right? Now Jesus is really only the Savior of those he saved, right? Yes, that's right. That's why, you know, he's your Savior, not your Savior. You know, but then Christians say, come forth and let God be your Savior. You know, kind of insinuating that if you don't, he ain't your Savior, right? Yeah. So then how is he the Savior of the world? I had a person, a Christian, that he got saved and he was on fire for God, witnessing to everybody. Now I'm the boss, so he took his time getting around to me. Okay, so I'm standing in shop and he walked by me. I knew it was coming one day. He stopped. He turned around. Hey, Waylon, can I ask you something? Uh-huh. He goes, do you know Jesus? I'm like, well, I think I do. I said, do you? He goes, yeah. I said, well, who do you say Jesus is? Jesus is the Savior of the world. I had him. I'm like, really? And I said this exact thing. I said, really? I said, you believe Jesus saved the world? He goes, uh-huh. I said, let's put that to the test. Okay. I said, is the world saved? Huh? You just said Jesus was the Savior of the world, right? Uh-huh. Now, he's only the Savior of those he saves, right? Uh-huh. So is Jesus saved the world or not? Is Jesus the Savior of a world that's not saved? How does that work? You know, so I'm forcing him to see the inconsistency through something so simple as that. You know, let's think about another one. You know, talk about being justified. You know, who was it up here that said, justified, never sinned, it was speaking? Remember? Phil? Okay. You know, Christians have no idea what being justified means. They have no idea. They'll have cute little sayings like, Jesus wiped the slate clean. Right? You know, or Jesus, if they really want to get talking about justification, Jesus threw the slate away. Okay? That ain't justification. Justified is there's never been a slate. Justified is being declared righteous, okay? Despite what you see, you're declared righteous. And they'll say that, I'm declared righteous by God, okay? But then you got to come down and get right with God, right? The inconsistency of the Christian religion, drag them to it, grab them by their hair, pull them down, and make them face their inconsistency. Okay? It won't work all the time, and you won't make many friends. Okay? But somebody's going to go, You know, they're going to go, I don't like it, but that made sense. Let's talk about another one that Christians get up and go, I have peace. Right? I love Christians go, man, I've got peace with God. I'm like, really? Yeah. I said, okay, you believe in hell, right? People, yeah. Do you know anybody that's in hell? Well, yeah. Do you know anybody that's going to hell? Some of your family? Yeah. How can you have peace? Either you really don't believe it or you don't care. Which is it? If you really know what hell is, there's no way you can have peace. Christians get up and say, I have rest for my soul. Like Jesus said, come to me, all you labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you kidding me? I mean, I never had a restful day as a Christian my whole life. If I didn't tithe enough, I didn't go to church enough, oh, God help me if my neighbor saw my car in the driveway on Sunday, it could be my fault they go to hell. That's the kind of stuff you'd hear from the pulpit. Okay, rest for my soul, really? Really, you're resting. You don't even know what resting is. Now I know what peace is. And I'll tell them, you know that peace of God that passes all understanding that Paul talks about? I know what that is. You know, they don't force them to recognize that. Okay, so right quick, I'm going to go to one of the simplest ones that they really get wrong, and it's so simple. And that's the simple thing about death. Okay? Death. Now, Christians don't believe anybody dies. I've heard preachers get up, well, Brother Joe was promoted last night, and he's been promoted to glory. Right? Anybody heard that? Okay. Sister Sally, she graduated last night. She's in glory. Okay. You know, the Christian religion bought the very first lie, thou shalt not surely die. They don't believe anybody dies. Okay. You close your eyes here, you wake your eyes up somewhere else. Okay. They don't understand that death is the absence of life. How silly. Right? Now let's just, I call this little thing, it's death for dummies. Death for Christians, maybe. Okay? Let's look at a verse, Joshua 1:1. And it came to pass after the death of Moses, servant of Yahweh, that Yahweh speaks to Joshua, son of Nun, minister of Moses, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now this is Yahweh speaking. Okay? If anybody knows, it's probably him. Right? So we got God talking about Moses, one of the patriarchal people that wrote, I think, the first five books of the Bible. Okay? God himself, smarter than all of us put together, makes a plain statement of fact from the Concordant Little, properly translated, Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay? Now, we all know that God says in the New Testament, God cannot lie, right? Now, if Moses was in heaven with God, and God tells Joshua, my servant is dead, either God lied, okay, which we know he can't, or God needs a lesson on death for dummies. Okay? Now, simple, right? How does Christian religion get that wrong? How do they get it? So let's talk a little bit. Let's just make sure, okay, we understand what death is. Okay? Well, maybe we don't comprehend, you know, our thoughts are not his thoughts. You know, God saying, Moses, my servant, dead. Maybe God meant something else. Okay, well, let's look at what the Bible teaches us about death. Okay, you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Okay, these are the death verses. This is the greatest explanation of what death is in the entire Bible. Okay, God covers it here. Now, anybody know who Solomon is? I think Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, right? What did Jesus say about Solomon? Wisest man to ever live. Okay, so God chose the wisest man that ever lived. Picture that. Out of Jesus' own mouth. Okay, the wisest man that ever lived to give us this profound few verses that absolutely nails death down. Okay, so let's read them. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 5. The living know that they shall die. Isn't that true? Okay, everyone in here, you know you're going to die, right? So he's already off to a good start. Okay, simple statement of fact. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing whatsoever. Concordant literal, nothing whatsoever. So, since this is death for dummies, and I think Solomon, okay, said, yeah, I probably need to make sure they understand whatsoever means. Okay? So he goes into it a little deep, just so the people of us that are simple like myself, okay, understand what he means by when he says the dead know nothing whatsoever. Okay? The wisest man that ever lived, want to make sure we understood what that meant. Okay, he says, there is no further hire for them. Okay? They don't need to work a job no more. No further hire. Nobody. They don't need to work. Okay? Indeed, remembrance of them is forgotten. Eventually, the longer you're dead, eventually you're going to pass away from memory. Okay? Now he goes into this. He says, both their love and their hate, as well as their jealousy, have perished already. Okay? Now let's talk about that for a second. We will talk about what the dead know nothing whatsoever. Okay, now all of those are emotions, right? Love, hate, jealousy. Right? So think about this. Anything that can make you feel the emotion love is gone. You're not experiencing that anymore. These are emotions. Okay, emotions can be broad. Many things, okay, can be wrapped up in what can make us feel love. Okay, their hate. Anything that you don't like, pain, sorrow, anything that you hate, you don't know that anymore. if the people are alive in hell, I'm sure they hate that. Right? People alive in heaven, I'm sure they love that. Okay? But the wisest man to ever live said that nothing that can make you either love or hate, you don't know it. Nothing. And even their jealousy, okay, anything that would cause you to covet, I want that. Okay? People in hell probably want water. Go to Luke 16. You'll know. Okay? People in heaven, you know, they got no more jealousy. Why? Because they got everything they'd ever want. Why would they covet anything? Right? Okay? It's death. There's nothing that can, there's nothing that you love or that can cause you to love. You don't know it. There's nothing that you hate, okay, or that could cause you to hate. You don't know it. There's nothing that you could covet that you know, okay, in death. Okay, let's look at a few other things he says here. My computer went to sleep. And there is no further portion for them for the eon in all that is done under the sun. Okay? Now, that's a big statement. And there is no further portion for them for the eon in all that is done under the sun. Okay? The sun. Okay? Everything that happens under the sun does not pertain to them anymore. Why? Because they know nothing whatsoever. Okay? They don't know the passage of time. Okay? They don't know, I mean, think about it. Death only hurts the living. You know, that's why, you know, we've had some family members pass away, and you try to tell them, you know, grandma ain't in heaven. Okay? You might as well just rear back and smack them right in the mouth. Because you're doing them a big injustice. No, I'm not. I'm not hurting them at all. Okay? You're the one that's hurting. Now, the fact is, you know, Christian, they do kind of get this right. You know, they close their eyes and instantly they're going to wake up. Okay, to the deaf, that's probably true. Okay, because they don't understand the passage of time. Okay, they die, boom, it's resurrection. That's how that works for them. They don't know the passage of time. Nothing that can love or cause them to love. Nothing that they hate or that can cause them to hate. Nothing that can make them jealous. Nothing that could cause them to covet anything they may desire. If it happens under the sun, okay, it doesn't pertain to them anymore. Why? Because the dead know nothing whatsoever. How simple does that get? Okay? How does the Christian religion miss that? I know why. Okay? Because they're blinded. And you know what? That blindness comes from God too. We can go to all kind of verses there. You know, one thing about God being in charge is everyone is exactly where God wants them every minute of every second of every day. Okay? That don't mean I have to like it. I don't have to like it. Okay? That don't mean I can't tell God, God, I really don't like this, bro. Okay? He knows already. Right? He knows we're human. Bad things happen to us. We don't like it. But now at least we that know the truth can be consistent. You know, we can say death is death. Okay? We can say God is in charge and mean it. Even when it's ugly, we can say that. We can say salvation is 100% of the Lord. And we can mean that. We can say Jesus is the Savior of the world and mean that. We can say I have peace and mean that. What about rest? You know, I don't work anymore for God. You know, when the Bible says, somebody read the verse earlier, you know, it's God that worketh in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, right? Hey, I don't even worry about doing stuff for God anymore. You know why? Because if God wants me to, I will. It's that simple. Right? I don't have to struggle with that no more. Why? Because if God wants me to do something, He'll work in me and I'll do it. Isn't that what He just said? I don't even have to worry about it. I don't even have to struggle living my own life anymore.
Amen.
Okay? I don't have to do that. You know where God says, in all things give thanks? Right? For this is the will of God concerning you. Simple verse. How many times have you heard it quoted from pulpit? Right? You know, all of us religious people, you know, we're stuck in this cycle. Right? We get up every morning. We make what we perceive are bad choices. Right? We ask God to forgive us. We get up the next morning. We make bad choices. Okay? Or are we doing this? We're praying, Lord, please let me know what to do. Please give me guidance here. Give me direction. And we're begging, and we're holding on to the horns of the altar, the Baptist preacher would say, and begging God for direction. Bless God, amen, thus saith the Lord. Okay? And then we make a decision, and it doesn't turn out like we want it to, right? Okay, then what does the preacher say? Well, brother, you probably wasn't as close to God as you needed to, and you just couldn't hear His voice, right? But God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning me, right? So if I got a choice between A, B, and C, and I choose C, that was the will of God concerning me. If I choose B, that was the will of God concerning me. If I choose A, yep. Okay? So what do I do now? I don't even struggle anymore. I just live. Because wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, whatever choice I made, whether I like it or not, okay, that is the will of God concerning me. I can actually believe that verse. Something bad, I make a choice, something bad happened. You know, it ain't because I was away from God. Okay, it was God. God did that. He performed that. Whether I perceive it as being bad, good, or likewise, that's the will of God concerning. You know why? He's in charge. I mean it. I can be consistent. Okay? I can say I just quit struggling and lived some time ago. When I say I'm justified, you know the only thing I feel guilty about is not feeling guilty about anything. I must have done something wrong I need to feel bad about. Let me think. Yep. No, I don't feel bad about that either. Yep, God's got that one covered. Okay? Because God took away the sin of the world, even mine. Right? That preacher and that Baptist preacher, he's going to remind you of that sin every day. Okay? I can get up and say, Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I can be consistent with that. Even Hitler's.
What about Joel Osteen?
Even Joel Osteen, even worse.
That's harder.
Okay? I can be consistent and not worry about it. Okay? I don't have to worry about salvation for everybody. It's not my job to go out. Okay? Pass out. I remember under the Baptist Church, first time we went on a big international vacation, it was right after we come to the truth. And I was sitting thinking, man, there was a time if I'd have went to Jamaica, okay, I'd have had a bunch of tracks with me. You know, I'd have been hiding them in the bathroom, and I'd have been all concerned about all these people, this foreign land, these heathen that don't know God. You know, I can actually go on vacation and enjoy it now. Right? I'm exactly where God wants me, and they are too. Because I can be consistent. Isn't it a blessing to be able to be consistent?
Yes.
Okay? I don't have to, but the Christians, if you pin them down, I mean, you really pin them down. Okay, and I was talking about it last night. I don't mean, like I said, I kind of mentioned it to you. Let's talk about some real inconsistency here. Okay, the church as a whole is all about getting people to heaven. Getting people to heaven. That's why they send out missionaries, right? We send out missionaries so we can get more people in heaven. Okay, now Christians, okay, as a need... Okay, to clean God's resume because they can't even justify in their mind God sending little children to hell, they invent the age of accountability. Anybody ever heard that? Right? Okay, what is the age now? Is it 12, 16, 9? Yeah, okay. I can tell you this. I've challenged Christians far and broad. I've done it on my YouTube channel. Find the age of accountability in the Bible. It is not there. Not one word. Okay, because they don't need to be. He's their Savior too. Right? They ain't no age of accountability. Okay, but let's just talk about the hypocrisy of the Christian religion. Okay, they're big time pro-life. Right? And I am too. This isn't a talk about abortion. Okay, but if they're going to be consistent in what they believe, every baby aborted goes straight to heaven. They don't pass go. They don't go by earth. They don't collect $200. They go straight to heaven. Right? According to the age of accountability. Right? Why do they fight Planned Parenthood so much? You'd think they would be supporting it as a missionary work. Because one Planned Parenthood facility sends more people to heaven than all the missionaries combined ever. It's simple logic. Because they invented a doctrine that they can't be consistent with. Now they can, you know, well, I actually heard a preacher say this one time. You know, we get into discussion how many people you think is going to be in heaven, 10%, 20%. You know, the generous ones will say 20%. Okay, the ones that are more legalistic, 10%. You know, I've heard one person, I can't remember who it was, but a long time ago, he said there's going to be more people in heaven and hell because all the aborted babies are going to heaven. He said that to me. I don't remember when it was, but I had a preacher tell me that. But that's when I was in Christian religion. I'm like, well, amen. I hate abortion clinics. So shut them all down. You know, but that's the inconsistency of their religion. It's ridiculous. You know, I don't want to make fun of it, but I do. So sometimes that's what it takes for somebody to go, right. And that's all it takes for them to go, because that's what happened to me. Okay, why don't that guy have faith? It's God's fault that guy doesn't have faith. So then I had a turning point in my life. I either need to go Calvinist or find something else. And Calvinist is so easy to be, especially limited atonement, so easy to, you know, do away with. And that's how I come to the salvation of all. The more I got into the salvation of all, the more I got into the scriptures, the more I understand, and the more I could become consistent in my belief and not be ashamed of it. You know, so anyway, that's my 30 minutes. I appreciate you giving me opportunity. You know, God, I hadn't been able to do anything 2 years since I've done the China thing. But anyway, check my channel out. If you like something, leave a comment. Anyway, thanks a lot for everybody putting up with me.
Well, then stop being so logical. Boy, I've never heard anybody say that. Is the camera running?
Yep.
That was so great. I'm going to repeat what you said just for make sure nobody missed that. The abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, according to the Christian doctrine of age of accountability, they send more people to heaven than all the missionaries in the world. Wow. I mean, that's a real thought provoker. It's true. It's so inconsistent. It was funny you mentioned the only thing Waylon feels guilty about is not feeling guilty. I'll just close with this. I sat in on a recovery meeting one time. I was just visiting. I was actually dating a girl who was in the recovery movement as a leader. And, oh, you should sit in on one of the recovery things. So I said, well, what's it about? Well, people just sit in a circle and they say their names and they say what they struggle with. You know, my name is Joe. I struggle with alcoholism. My name is Bill. I struggle with pornography, whatever. So I went around the room and I'm like, oh, geez, I'm not even in this group. I don't even want to say anything, but it's coming around to me. What do I do? Do I just pass? Or I'm just visiting. So I decided, well, no, I'll just say something. So it came around to me, and I said, yeah, hi, my name is Martin Zender, and I struggle with the fact that I have no struggles. It's like you said, everybody just looked at me. One kid laughed. God bless that kid. Well, I can't say enough about this conference. It's been a classic, and I thank you two for putting it on. It's so great to meet people I've never seen before and to see old friends, and I've heard from several of you that you've made new friends, and there's a list here. I didn't mention it before. that you can put your name, email address, and if you want to stay in contact with anybody, the people who have put their email addresses or phone numbers on here want to fellowship. And so that's a great thing. We're going to need each other as the days grow darker. The days are not getting brighter at this stage of the eon. They're getting darker and darker. Yet we are the light of the world. We are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. We entreat people to be conciliated to God because he's conciliated with us. Oh, I hate saying goodbye. But thank everybody for taking the trouble to come. God bless you all. And look at Waylon's channel. Look at mine. And we'll be seeing you in the near future, I hope, among the celestials. Amen.